Good evening and welcome everyone to our service of Holy Communion as we gather once more in the shadow of the cross, remembering this Last Supper that Jesus shared with his disciples, and how this meal has become for us the sacrament of the Lord's body and blood, in which we feed on him by faith with thanksgiving. And we're delighted this evening, as we have been right throughout this week, to welcome the Reverend Adrian Green, who has been leading our devotions. Adrian is the rector of Mount Merion, our neighboring parish, and he has been leading our devotions very powerfully during this week, helping us to think about the paradoxes of the cross, and indeed thinking about their implications for our lives today. At the end of our service this evening, we will be stripping the altar and we will be leaving the sanctuary bare in preparation for the desolation of tomorrow, Good Friday. And people, we're very glad to say, are very welcome to join us in person tomorrow at 7:30. But the church won't be open during the day as it normally is for our prayer vigil on Good Friday. But all the materials for prayer for that vigil are in our parish magazine, which you should have either received in the post or it's available to download from our parish website. And we do encourage you just to take some time tomorrow to pray for all those needs within the life of our parish at the present time. But we're going to begin our service with our greeting and our opening prayer. The Lord of love be with you.
And also with you.
This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And we pray together, O Saviour of the world, by your cross and precious blood, you have redeemed us. Save us and help us, we humbly pray, O Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn this evening, the hymn, It Is a Thing Most Wonderful.
Oh,
And now we come to the penitential part of our service where we bring our lives before God and we prepare to confess our sins. But first of all, let us hear God's blessing on those who follow him, and we join in the responses. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Blessed are those who weep, for they shall be consoled. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall be satisfied. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Blessed are those who suffer persecution for the sake of justice, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And trusting in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess this evening our weakness, our disobedience, and our sinfulness, assured that through the cross we are completely forgiven. And so we pray together. Gracious and merciful God, as in heart and mind we see Jesus in his passion, we confess our sins of thought, word, and deed, and our failure to do what we know we should. Our sins with those of all humankind brought him to the cross. We are indeed sorry and are overwhelmed by your wonderful love by which we receive forgiveness. Guide and strengthen us to amend our lives and become disciples worthy of your love. We ask this through him who suffered and died for us and now lives with you in the fullness of glory, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear then the word of grace and the assurance of pardon. Your sins are forgiven through his name. Amen. And our special collect prayer for today, Maundy Thursday. God our Father, you have invited us to share in the supper which your Son gave to his church, to proclaim his death until he comes. May he nourish us by his presence and unite us in his love, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our epistle reading this evening is from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians in the second chapter, beginning at the first verse. If you have any encouragement then from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here ends our epistle reading.
Our reading tonight finds Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that he was betrayed. And here he prays for himself, his disciples, and all believers. So here the gospel of our Savior Christ according to John chapter 15, beginning at verse 6. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. My prayer is not for the world, but for those that you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me so that they may bring me glory. Now I am departing from the world, but they are staying in this world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you've given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost, except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Now I'm coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so that they would be filled with my joy. I've given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so that they can be made holy by your truth. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And we respond to our gospel reading as we reflect on the words of our next hymn, which speaks of Jesus' humanity and his divinity, meekness and majesty.
Thank you.
So good evening. It's good to be back with you, and I look forward to actually seeing some of your lovely faces tomorrow in the building. This week we've been considering some of the paradoxes that we find in the Easter narrative. We've looked at strength out of weakness, glory out of shame, clothing out of nakedness, and last night, testimony out of mockery. If you think about it, the Bible is full of paradoxes. Just think even of the teaching of Jesus. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Or how he said that if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, you must become the least. A truth he so ably lived out, not least as we remember on this Monday, Thursday, when he, the master, the rabbi, knelt down and washed his own disciples' feet before their final meal together. With truths like this in the Bible, then it's not surprising to learn that when we follow God's word, it leads us to live a paradoxical lifestyle. In our reading that we've just had from John 17, we find Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that he was betrayed. In his prayer, he asked God to give him the strength for his upcoming crucifixion, but also to give protection to his disciples, as they would soon find themselves carrying on without him visibly by their side. And then we see Jesus make this seemingly paradoxical statement that both separates us from the world and yet sends us into the world. In verse 18, Jesus said, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." So what does it mean for us as Christians to be in the world, but not of the world? Well, first of all, to be in the world means more than just living on earth. That goes without saying. Rather, we need to be involved in our communities and the places that God places us and calls us to live, work, study, and rest. You see, when Jesus told his disciples to go there, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, his intention wasn't that they, the disciples, were to remove themselves from the world and expect others to come to them, to hear the truth. No, in fact, Jesus commands them. He tells them to go into the world. And similarly, in verse 15 of tonight's reading, Jesus prays for his disciples in these words. He says, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." You see, Jesus' desire for us, his disciples, was to be in the world and not removed to heaven. And as we heard last night from the book of Acts, we are to be witnesses in the world as we share our testimonies, as we share the good news that Jesus has made changes in our life as we've come to put our faith and trust in him. And similarly, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house, be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven." So in this world, we are to be people who bring light to dark places. But to be not of the world requires us to be free of worldly influence. This doesn't mean that we shouldn't get involved with how the world is run or how it's cared for. Rather, it means that we shouldn't act like those who aren't yet Christians. We're not slaves to our sinful nature, but we're to act in accordance with the righteousness that we're clothed with. That's what we were thinking about on Tuesday evening. We're told to put to death things that are part of our old sinful natures. We're to flee from immorality. We're to be imitators of God, and we're to do good works. In essence, we're to act according to the new nature that we've been given, rather than our old sinful nature of this world. Because, as we're reminded in 2 Corinthians, we are ambassadors for Christ in this world. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we're told that you and I are chosen people. It goes on to say, you are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he has called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And so, although we live in a world of darkness, we're not part of that darkness. We're not of this world because we are in Christ, and so we have the light. And while we are still in the world, we're called to be set apart to shine the light that others may know him and come to faith in Jesus. Not only that, but we're always to be on our guard against the ways of the world. We must persistently fight against trying to find our self-worth, our status, our honor. Maybe it's our power or prestige in something other than Jesus. We might try to find our worth or our identity in our relationships. Maybe it's in a car or a job or educational accomplishments or a host of other good things. But nothing compares to Christ. And if we're to look for anything other than Christ, or to anything other than Christ for our self-worth or our identity, then we look to something that is here today and gone tomorrow. But if it's Christ that we look towards for our self-worth and identity, then we look at something that cannot be taken from us. We place our hope on that sure foundation. And so, being followers of a Christ calls us to live this paradoxical lifestyle of being separated from the world, but also being in the world. It calls us to put others first and to make right choices. And of course, it's clear that in this world, there are plenty of choices to be made. And when we follow Jesus, then the choices that we make are often the opposite of what the world would expect us to make. I recently came across this story about Mother Teresa. A Christian writer called Shane Claiborne spent a few months working alongside Mother Teresa in Calcutta. When people found out about this, they would often ask him what she was like. And they would often phrase that question in a way as if they imagined her with some sort of halo around her head. But Shane said that in reality, she was short, wrinkled, and precious, just like a beautiful, wise old granny. But he goes on to say that there's one thing that he would never forget, and that's her feet. Her feet were deformed. He says, each morning I would stare at them and I'd wonder if she'd contracted leprosy or something. Then one day a sister explained, her feet are deformed because we get just enough shoes for everyone. A mother does not want anyone to get stuck with the worst pair. So she digs through the pile, she finds the worst and she wears them. And years of doing that have deformed her feet. Years of loving her neighbor as herself deformed her feet. And I suppose if we were asked to ask people about the person whose life they most admire, so often the answer is Mother Teresa. And yet the example that she sets us was a life of self-denial, a life of taking up her cross and following Jesus. Certainly it wasn't a lifestyle that the world would define as successful. And so as a Christian, you and I, just like Mother Teresa, we're called to live a countercultural, paradoxical lifestyle, to be in the world, but not of it. Judas Iscariot is an example of what happens when we don't do this, but rather that we give in to the temptations of the world. For him, it led to pain and guilt. You see, his love for money led him to believe that if he could only have lots of money, he would find happiness. But acting on this led him to betray Jesus. And then, because he felt so guilty for what he'd done, he went out and killed himself. So the more that we study God's word, the more that we seek to apply it to our lives, the more that we seek to live a life that follows Jesus and honors him, the less that we will have in common with the world. We won't share the same priorities as the world does, and we won't get excited about the same things. And so as we prepare to meet around the Lord's table tonight, it would be worth us pausing once more to reflect on the choices that we have made in our own lives. Occasions when we've got our priorities wrong, when we've given in to the demands and the desires that this world would have us believe are okay, rather than to live in the light of God's word and make choices that bring him honor and glory. So let's just pause and have a moment of silence in order to reflect and ask God's forgiveness. And so, Heavenly Father, as we prepare to meet around your table, as we remember your sacrifice on the cross for us, how you put our needs before your own, how you set us an example of what it means to put others first, please forgive us for the times when we have given in to the ways of this world, when we've ignored your priorities and the choices you would have us make. Help us to live this paradoxical countercultural life that you call us to. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and so empower us that we may shine like a light in this dark world and so that others would be drawn to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And so let us continue in prayer, as this evening we focus our prayers and our intercessions on ministry in the church. We use the responses on the screen. God the Father, have mercy on us. God the Son, have mercy on us. God the Holy Spirit, have mercy on us. We humbly pray that you will hear us, good Lord. Grant to your people the forgiveness of sins, growth in grace, and the fruits of the Spirit. Lord, hear our prayer. Send your peace to the world, which you have reconciled to yourself, by the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, hear our prayer. Heal the divisions of your church that all may be one so that the world may believe. Lord, hear our prayer. Lead the members of your church in their vocation and ministry that they may serve you in true and godly living. Lord, hear our prayer. Raise up faithful and able ministers for your church, that the gospel may be known to all people. Lord, hear our prayer. Fill them with compassion, clothe them with humility, and move them to care for all your people. Lord, hear our prayer. Inspire all bishops, priests, and deacons with your love, that with all your people, they may hunger for truth. Lord, hear our prayer. Sustain by the indwelling of your Holy Spirit all who are called to the ordained ministries of your church, and encourage them to persevere to the end. Lord, hear our prayer. Gather us with all your saints into your eternal kingdom. Lord, hear our prayer. Eternal God and Father, you have promised to hear those who pray in the name of your Son. Grant that what we have asked in faith, we may obtain according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once we were far off, but now in union with Christ Jesus, we have been brought near through the shedding of Christ's blood, for he is our peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. All glory and honor, thanks and praise be given to you at all times and in all places, Lord, Holy Father, true and living God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is your eternal Word, through whom you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. In your great love you gave him to be made man for us and to share our common life. In obedience to your will, your Son, our Savior, offered himself as a perfect sacrifice and died on the cross for our redemption. Through him, you have freed us from the slavery of sin and reconciled us to yourself, our God and Father. For he is the true Passover Lamb who was offered for us and has taken away the sin of the world. He is our great High Priest, whom you raised from death and exalted to your right hand on high, where he ever lives to intercede for us. Through him, you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a royal priesthood called to serve you forever. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Merciful Father, we thank you for these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, and we pray that we who eat and drink them in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, in obedience to our Savior Christ, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his body and his blood, who on the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as our Savior has commanded. We celebrate the redemption he has won for us. We proclaim his perfect sacrifice, made once for all upon the cross, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and we look for his coming to fulfill all things according to your will. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Renew us by your Holy Spirit, unite us in the body of your Son, and bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord, with whom and in whom, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of never-ending praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. And as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. Draw near with faith. And so we pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, you humbled yourself in taking the form of a servant and in obedience died on the cross for our salvation. Give us the mind to follow you and to proclaim you as Lord and King to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this night and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with us in our worship this evening. And as our service draws to a close, we do invite you to join us again tomorrow evening at 7:30, and you're welcome to come here to the church for our service. And we do remind those who may not be feeling so well or still need to shield that the service will be live streamed to your home tomorrow evening also at 7:30. During the singing of our closing hymn, the altar will be stripped and the sanctuary stripped as we prepare for Good Friday. Our closing hymn, My Song is Love Unknown.